Welcome to Launchpad, the unique radio show and podcast that celebrates new book releases and the authors that created them. Now, let's take off with your host, Grace Salmon.
This is Launchpad. I'm so excited to welcome you, along with Mary Helen Sheriff, the author marketing coach, to episode 40. Today we have Sherry L. Dodd, Deborah Chain Morris, who hopefully will be joining us shortly, Leslie Hatchell, and Kathy Ramsberger. This is episode 40, as I said, and this marks 160 authors choosing Launchpad to celebrate their books and to share all about them and their launches. It's so exciting for me to have these authors, some from She Writes Press, some from Black Rose Writing, and just in general, a stellar group of authors. Today that we will be transported by thrilling paranormal writing, a story of love lost and a soul restored, a timeless romance, and a raw and personal memoir of love and guilt. Join me and these great authors on this episode of Launchpad. If you are joining us live, please feel free to add your comments. I see that we have EJ Runyon here. It's always wonderful to have our Facebook viewers with us. And of course, we always air later on Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. So thanks for being with me. Continue to comment. Let's just jump right in with Sherry L. Dodd, Murder Under the Redwood Moon, Debbie Chain Morris, who is going to hopefully join us later with We Used to Dance, Loving Judy, My Disabled Twin, Leslie Hatchell with Come Back to Me, and last but not least, with Katherine Ramsberger, A Thousand Flying Things. Sherry, let's start with you. Tell us about Murder Under the Redwood Moon.
Will do. Grace, thank you so much for having me today. Hello to the viewers. Hello to my fellow authors. I am Sherry Dodd, and I'm here to talk about Murder Under Redwood Moon. It is my debut novel, released March of this year, and it is a paranormal murder mystery. Some have called it a witch cozy with bite, and the jury's still out whether it's a thriller or not, because opinions may vary. So, and what I've done with this book, I've taken two aspects that I really love. Number one, I've loved witches, good witches, since I was a child. I read Mrs. Piggy Wiggle, and I swear Amelia Bedelia was a kitchen witch. But nevertheless, Samantha Stevens on the show Bewitched, the spinoff Tabitha, of course, Glinda from Wizard of Oz. And as I grew up, got older, got a little rebellious, I liked the wicked ones just as much. So there's one aspect of Murder Under Redwood Moon. The other is atmosphere. In the US, we've got these mountain ranges, whether it's the Ozarks or the Appalachians. Well, in Santa Cruz County, we have the Redwoods, and it is just magnificent. And it's kind of like a wild animal. It's a beautiful place of mystique, but at the same time, you're wondering if it's going to get you. So there's that air of element of beauty as well as spookiness. So I married the two together, added a sprinkle of serial killer, added a dash of young romance, and I have Murder Under Redwood Moon.
Absolutely fascinating. I love the way you pulled all of those things together, and we'll hear more about that as we move through this episode. Unable to join us quite yet is Debbie Chain Morris. She has written a very poignant memoir, which I hope that you will check out, called We Used to Dance, Loving Judy, Her Disabled Twin. It's the story about how her sister was born with cerebral palsy and she was not, and how she tended her sister well into her 50s. So it's a poignant memoir. If you are so drawn to that book, I hope you find out more about that as we move through today's episode as well. Leslie Hatchell, this is book number 17, I think. Come Back to Me. Tell us about it.
Well, it's actually time travel, and it starts out that my heroine goes to an estate sale, and she sees a portrait of a man from Scotland in 1562. This is her soulmate, and she has to be with him. So she does a little research, and she figures out that she could probably find some vehicle. I mean, she's outlander, right? So she goes on eBay. Well, eBay comes with a guarantee. So she buys a very expensive time travel cloak and puts it on, and sure enough, ends up in 1562 Scotland. And so she goes from this, she meets the man, and that's a love story with a villainess, and it has a cliffhanger at the end. So book number 18 is picking up from that cliffhanger and going from there.
Wonderful. You know, it sounds like a fabulous plot. Sounds like Sherry would love to be in that book as well, with a little bit of story going back and forth there. And last but not least, Kathy Ramsberger has written a sequel to her award-winning book, The Shores of Our Souls, with her newest book, A Thousand Flying Things. Beautiful cover.
Thank you so much, Grace. Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here. The cover is by Estella Vukovic. She is amazing, magical. So my book is Upmarket Book Club Fiction. It does have a literary voice. It's a standalone fiction to my first book, The Shores of Our Souls. And it's got a couple of subcategories that I've won awards in, so I'm really proud of it. Multicultural fiction, war and military fiction, and Story Monsters recently named it first place in fiction for young people over 15. So most of my writing deals with the connections between cultures, bridges between continents, and the choices we all make about love. Mm-hmm. My debut novel deals with choosing between country, family, and career. And the second one, A Thousand Flying Things, which I got the title from the Sudanese proverb, better a bird in the hand than a thousand flying things, deals with, air quotes, saving children at war and being with the one you love, the choice between that. So in the first book, Diana and Kasim accidentally fell in love under a disco ball, and they can't help themselves, but everybody else conspires against these two star-crossed lovers. They may part, but they're forever transformed. And this 10 years later, 1991, Diana finds herself, after 10 years as a humanitarian in Africa, teaching children to read, for Operation Ready to Read, which is a non-governmental organization. She's been working in Africa all this time, and this is her toughest assignment, but a little boy inspires her to keep going. She's hampered by disease, a fierce tribal leader who's harboring this mysterious little boy. All of this gets complicated because she gets sick. She has to go to Nairobi. She goes to the embassy to try and save the little boy. And she bumps into, guess who, her long lost love and mentor, Kasim. Now she really has a choice, Khalil or Kasim, or maybe her family back home. But destiny intervenes and things aren't what they seem. And it's about her choice, a child or a love. And it's a child that's going to lead her to her decision, but it's not the child we think it is.
I'm captivated already. Sherry, let's go back to you, because your book has some pretty dark turns in it. We've heard today about cliffhanger endings, but you have bodies showing up. Let's talk about more about your book.
Okay. It is a serial killer. So there's that aspect, but it could be young adult as far as how dangerous and gory and violent it gets. Of course, it's not told from a young adult perspective. It is adult, but I wanted something actually that my grown kids would not be embarrassed of me writing. So the sex is insinuated, the violence. I mean, the serial killer, I've been told he really has a little bit of an edge that makes some people really feel that danger. But as far as gore and stuff, I keep it pretty PG-13.
and nature was very much at the core of why you wrote this as well. You mentioned earlier the redwoods. Does that play a role in the book itself?
Yes, it does. In that, if I encourage everybody to go into the Santa Cruz Mountains and visit the the, oh, I cannot think of the name right now. But anyway, there's a nice, beautiful, beautiful park up there. And the it's even in my book, these trees predate the Roman Empire. They're just magnificent. And you have got eagles flying perched on the top. And, you know, you've got the streams. And it's just a magical place. It really is. So I want to better convey that. I think this time I'm light on a little bit of the description. And so, yeah, I hope it creates an atmosphere for the reader.
Thank you. Leslie, let's go to you. Atmosphere sounds like it's very important in your book, at least, you know, that outlander feeling. Can you talk about that, how you create atmosphere?
Well, I've always been fascinated by Scott. Actually found something that I wrote when I was like 8 years old about Scotland and the resurgence with Outlander and all that. Everything about that is inspiring, and also time travel and the idea that you can actually is it, you know, I had actually had an agent tell me that time travel wasn't real. And I said, and my response, not for you. But that you obviously we can't get into a time machine. But when you start with the research, and I got into the people and the way life was, I really would like to go back there. It would be, we have changed so much in really a short time, and going back to quiet. I have one of my characters go out and it's like there are no, you know, car horn, there's no beeping, there's no, and just the idea of being able to be in a place that it's quiet and develop relationships without using a telephone, without using any of the modern conveniences, all of that fascinated me. And again, the more research I did, the more exciting it was for me. As I write it, I go there and I imagine what it's really like. I look around, I see the people's faces. I try to get the of the environment, and I find that very exciting.
And I think that sense of place is so important, especially when the place is almost a character in and of itself. Kathy, the same question to you, because you take us to places I have never been. Talk about the sense of place in your novels, please.
Well, I want to thank everybody for loving my cover. I really appreciate it first. And I think that the story world for me is a character in and of itself. I find that when I write and I don't make that a priority, people get lost. They get ungrounded in my stories. So I always try to make it as realistic as I can, because I'm dealing with realistic places. But for a lot of people, it's not any place they'll ever go. And I do this for people that haven't traveled. There are lots of people that want to travel and just cannot. And that's who I write this for. The story takes place in Southern Sudan, which is someplace most people haven't been to. I get the question a lot, did you do a lot of research? And I've done both primary research, because I lived in Africa as a delegate for about a year, and secondary research that's all listed in the back. As well as a timeline of what's happened in that country. It was Southern Sudan in 1991, and now it's South Sudan. So that was a difficult decision, actually, what to call it. And I call it Southern Sudan because it's the 90s.
Okay. So let's move a little bit from place to what was... You know, I'm not asking the standard question of, so why did you write this book? But I think that there is something underneath for all of us as authors about what is that message we're trying to convey to our readers. So Sherry, I'd like to start with you, not so much your motivation for writing it, but what is that message you really hope your readers walk away with?
Well, I have to tell you, so I started this book in a little writing contest. It was a 3-page essay. And during that time, my father was diagnosed with cancer. And so I started elaborating on the story just to kind of fill my mind with something creative so I didn't have to worry about him, bless his heart. And as he got sicker, the book got bigger. And there is a key element in my book in the paranormal aspect that pulls in that message. And I don't really want to give it away, but it is a part of definitely dealing with the death of my father.
Oh, I'm sorry for your loss, but there was a gift he gave you in the process, wasn't there?
Definitely.
Leslie, the underlying message of your book.
It sounds very cliche, but love is timeless. I really believe that. And I really believe that love is really the most powerful force in the universe. And even if you're involved with your daily life, if you take a few minutes and think about the people in your life and the love and how, you know, people are doing all kinds of ancestor research. And why are they doing that? They want to feel the thread of family, of connection. And I think that's the most important thing. And especially, I've gotten some letters from fans who are going through things. And they say that reading my books takes me away from sadness and gives them a respite. And again, I mean, that's the highest compliment I can get, is that I'm able to do that. But again, I think it comes back to, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in the world, if you just hang on to the love, it's going to get you through.
A message we should all embrace every day. Beautiful. I agree with you. Kathy, the underlying message.
Mine is very similar. War is going to only harm people we love. Continents may separate us. Not understanding cultures may separate us. Unconditional love is the only thing, when things get like they are these days, that will heal us. And perhaps when I was young, I wanted war just to go away. In the 90s, I really still believed that it could. I'm not so sure I'll see it in my lifetime, but that's why I wrote these books. If we love somebody from another culture, we do not want to see them hurt in any way.
So love unites us for sure. One of the things I've so struck by in my own writing life is how each of my books has transformed me in inexplicable ways. Things that either came my way that I didn't think would, or something I found out about myself that I was really unaware of until I wrote the book. Each of you has written more than one book. So Sherry, again, let's start with you. How has your writing changed you?
Well, I will say the first book I wrote was a nonfiction fitness book. And it was a project in my spare time. There was one book on the shelf at the time to recover your body after pregnancy. And I've been a personal trainer since 2001. I wrote the book in 2005. And I did not get an editor. I did not get a publisher. I wrote it, published it, and expected it to just do great. So it did give me a vessel of which I could write a blog. And I had been approached by a few periodicals as an expert. So I started getting paid for articles. But it just kind of faded away the more I delved into motherhood. That has always been my greatest joy. So this time around, my youngest went off to college a couple years ago. Same year my dad passed away, I became an empty nester. So that wraps it up into why I had to throw myself into something. That is definitely it. But so this book, I got beta readers. I got a New York Times bestselling editor. And it took me 2 years, not 6 months. So it just showed me the difference of effort and thought and organization. And so that's my experience in book writing, how not to do it and how to do it pretty well.
Leslie.
Years and years ago, I was cleaning my house, and I remember I had sheets in my hand because I was going to change the sheets. And I thought, I can either change these sheets or I could write a book. Okay. So I wrote a book. I can't tell you how terrible it was, but I discovered that I love this, that it opened up my world. And then I discovered research, which, I mean, I was, you know, as a student, I was kind of lazy. I didn't do a lot of that. But when I wanted to get it right, it was really important, which in those days, there was no Google. You had to go to the library. You'd look stuff up. And I found myself totally immersed. And I thought to myself, that's what I want for my readers. I want them to come with me on my journey because this is so much fun and so exciting. And I don't know that I have any great message to impart, but it's sort of like, let's go on the rides at the, you know, and just see what happens. Cause that exhilaration is something I want to share. And I just love it.
Oh, I agree. There's something about the juice. I call it the juice of writing. I drink the Kool-Aid as often as I can. Kathy, you've written multiple books. How has that experience changed you?
Oh, wow. It's totally changed me because it's always been a dream. And if I had heard when I was 19 that I didn't have to change the sheets, I could just go write instead. I would have done it a lot sooner.
Yeah, I didn't get that message either.
But it was something always in the back of my mind. I really did in my book, Diana supports her mother. Her father has passed, but I supported my family because my mother had a debilitating disability, Parkinson's disease. And we had no insurance when she got diagnosed. So I almost didn't get to finish college. And I promised myself that if I walked across that stage with my diploma in English Lit with an emphasis in creative writing, I would never, ever, ever not write a novel in my lifetime. So I've always been inspired. How it's changed my life now, other than feeling like, yeah, I did it, is my readers. My readers are just, they buoy me up, and they are the reason that I write and why I always wrote, both to share my experiences with them and for them to share their experiences with me. That's why I love book clubs and I love schools. I love to speak. And so I've been able to do a lot more of that too.
Those are the fun spinoffs, you know, the opportunity to speak at schools, or I think probably every single one of us in this room or in this Zoom loves the idea of going to book clubs. We do have people watching, Bonnie and others. I hope that you feel free to ask questions in our remaining time with these authors. I'd like to talk about genre. We have a couple of very different genres here, as well as memoir in Debbie Chain Morris's book, We Used to Dance, Loving Judy, My Disabled Twin, who was obviously not able to join us today. But why have you navigated to the genres that you have? And Kathy, we'll start with you this time.
Well, I wrote book club fiction because of what I just said. I wrote literary fiction because I couldn't change my voice. That's really the truth. I grew up Southern and it comes through in my writing, even though I write about the world. Multicultural fiction, it's because my world was surrounded with people of diversity. I grew up in a small Southern town and went to see my grandmother's in country. Southern. But as soon as I hit 18, my world completely changed. So I wanted to share that. I know I write about war, but I write about love during war any kind of war conflict happens off screen. So they're very PG-13. But I was just honored by SIBA by getting a finalist in that. So it is military fiction. It's just not American military fiction. And I wanted to write about my humanitarian experience, which I think a lot of people in every country, unless they're in that world, don't really understand or even know. That's the comment I get the most. Will you tell us more about the humanitarian world?
Thank you. And I'm so glad you shared that aspect of your work. Leslie, we've talked about some of your books. Are they all in the same genre?
Well, they're all romance, but they're all in the subgenres. They cross from romantic suspense to paranormal to historical to contemporary. And that's what I love about romance. There's only one rule, and that's you have to have a happily ever after or happy for now. And so I've been able to find my characters and let them go where they want to go, kind of thing. It's like the characters determine where we're going with that. So in some, I will start out with doing contemporary and end up in romantic suspense, or I'll start out here and end up there, because characters really dictate how I write. And in fact, I wrote a 4-book series, the dance series, and I'd only written 3, and I was only, it was going to be 3 books. And the 4th friend was going, what about me? What about me? And I know that sounds crazy that you have voices in your head, but not to authors get it, because you
That's
do.
Right.
The characters are alive and they're as real as, you know, as our creation of them. And that's what I love about romance as a genre, is that it allows you so much freedom to explore serial killers or time travel or any of those aspects.
Oh, I love that. All we have to do is have a happy ending, and we can do a whole lot of stuff in between.
That's right.
Sherry, you switched genres, and then you landed on this, maybe a thriller, maybe not. How did you land with this genre?
First of all, it's funny because the second book, I have finished the second book. It is in contract. It'll be released next year. Same publisher, Black Rose Writing. Same time of year, March 2025. And this first one is very focused around the serial killer. I'm also very into true crime. I have been. I've got 3 people in my family who are in law enforcement. So, you know, especially my father is a retired sheriff. He always had the books laying around. Helter Skelter was the first book I read. I think it was 12 when I read that book.
Wow.
It horrified me, which made me love it. And so it's funny because the first book here, it deals with a serial killer, but the second one, no serial killer. So I'm even changing genres within the trilogy. So hopefully the readers will appreciate that. I don't know if that answers your question.
Oh, it does. And actually, one of our viewers had a question about do authors switch genres? So that's an actual perfect answer to that question. I have enjoyed having each of you on the show. Sherry L. Dodd with Murder Under the Redwood Moon. Debbie Chain Morris, who was not able to join us. We Used to Dance. Loving Judy, My Disabled Twin. Please check out that memoir. Leslie Hatchell, Come Back to Me. Beautiful cover as well. Each of your covers is lovely. And Kathy Ramsberger, 1,000 Flying Things. You have all been an inspiration to me. We always say here at Launchpad, we find our next author and we get an inspired TBR list. So thanks so much for being with me, and good luck to each of you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being with us here on Launchpad.
This episode is copyrighted by Grace Salmon and Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Thank you for visiting with us on Launchpad.